All right, we've looked at Eve, and then we looked at Sarah, and that's just one of several here for Sarah. A lot is given about her in the scripture, and we're going to build upon the whole theme of trust that she was introduced in the first time, and so she's going to be facing here in her life one of the deepest issues that a woman will face, and she has been told something that is frankly an impossible reality for her to believe. And so we're looking at the matter that Sarah was barren. And again, I want to remind you, as hard as that is in today's world, it's 100 times harder in the world in that day. As a woman, unfortunately, you did not have much worth if you did not provide a child. And that's a tragic, and by the way, that came out of more of paganism. There was much more value placed, obviously, in the Old Testament with the Israel, and of course you see it just beautifully given in the New Testament. But it was a reality. And when we are introduced to Sarah in chapter 11, when Abram is introduced to us, but Sarai was barren. That's how we are introduced to her. Well, that's sort of a tough way to be introduced. She didn't have a child. Just several words. Cold, hard fact. And as we mentioned last time, it's obvious from the accounts of Egypt and the Philistines that Sarah must have been a very beautiful woman. Even those two cultures acknowledge that. And that didn't meet her need. By the way, whatever external attributes a person may have, and even going to the type of material possessions you have that make a better presentation, none of that solves any inward problems. You know, beauty is vain, the Bible says, and so that is a very good example of a poor woman that, from our world standpoint today, she would have had everything going for her. She had a rich husband, and she was beautiful, but she had no child, and that's how she is introduced. Now, you know that Sarah went through a lot of self-questioning. What have I done wrong? What is wrong with me? And that's what everyone does. But one of the things that we have to understand is God has a perfect plan for each one of us. And when things like this that are so deep occur, it's not a cause and effect situation. It is God superintending the affairs of our life. Sometimes we have satanic attacks, as I've often mentioned, or we just have natural realities. You know, there can be DNA problems. There can be physiological problems. They didn't know how to look at that in those days. They could not diagnose that. And so she was going where she didn't need to go. But her self-examination, the one side of it was this, that the trial she was going through was going to be God preparing her to be able to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go back to this a couple of times. But Hebrews chapter 11 does not just speak of Abraham, which I think is very significant. And even as you look at a couple of the times when Sarah struggled, all of that is now put behind her. When it comes to the matter of how God viewed her by the time she had her son Isaac. And we read in verse 11 of chapter 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Through faith, she delivered. So when she had Isaac, Sarah's faith was as important as Abraham's faith. And that's encouraging, because you can look at Sarah and say, you know, I think she's a little inferior to Abraham. Well, I don't believe that's actually the case, as we're going to review again here today. She came to a place where she was able to believe. Not only, can you imagine, after 25 years, when the story starts, not only to not have a child, but secondly, to have one when you're way, way, way past menopause? Do you realize that's a creative miracle? That is not a physiological possibility. That is going to be a 100% act of God. Nothing normal about it. But Sarah came to faith before she conceived Isaac, that God was going to give her a child. And that's really encouraging. Now, let me just say this. I say it often. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't cover over the weaknesses of the heroes? It's one of the proofs of the inspiration of Scripture is that David, Abraham, all of these that we look at, you see the weaknesses there, how they overcame them. It's greatly instructive. That's why when you look at a man like Joseph, Daniel, who did not have anything brought up, you really have to admire very consistent faithfulness on the part of those men. But almost all the others, you find the weaknesses popping up and how they overcame those by the grace of God. Now, do you not think, especially since the Bible first introduces her that she had no child, that that was sort of her identity from her own mind? You know, that's very easy for us to get an identity based upon things that are hard in our lives. You know, I'm this kind of person. It's because something bad happened in your marriage or something bad happened in your life before, or you have some kind of physiological problem or whatever. You can just start defining yourself by the trial. And we make a huge mistake when we do that. A lot of people define themselves by their shame and go through life with that without realizing if you're saved, you're fully forgiven. And the potential for your life is as great as the Savior himself, because Christ is our life. And that's why I'm taking the time on Sunday mornings to go through Romans 6 again. You can't go over that enough. We got to get a hold of that, who we are in Christ. And so Sarah had to learn that she should not be defined by this very major weakness, but that she needed to learn to trust God, because God had promised in chapter 12 that Abraham would have a seed that would be a blessing to all the nations of the world, and he only had Sarah as his wife. Very clearly, he knew, she knew, the seed was from them. And probably back at that time, it was a possibility to have a child. But they believed it. But when time ran out, God let time go on, because the Jewish people were a miracle race. And they were the miracle people of God. And even though Israel is very much an unbelieving nation right now, it's still amazing when we see them over there. There's no way to explain they haven't been stepped on. There's no way to explain it, except they still are kept by the hand of God. Israel is enough for people for people to believe the word of God. Well, Sarah begins to grow in faith. And remember, she followed her husband into some difficult situations. She had to trust the Lord through Egypt. She had to trust the Lord through Abimelech and the Philistines. And I can tell you, ladies, those were terrifying situations. Abraham had no power to overcome the Egyptian power. When he let Sarah go into the harem, it was all over except God. God stepped in there. Then God shut the wombs there in the Philistines. And so clearly Sarah had to trust the Lord, and she was not touched. She was not hurt. And so she had to believe God through all of that. So she had to believe God for 9,000 days. That's what the chapter here talks about. In other words, when you take the 25 years and multiply everything out, every day look to the Lord about the fact that she was going to have a seed and that she had to trust the exceeding and great promises of the Lord. Now, you say, did she really understand that? Well, if you do a study of Genesis, between Genesis 12, of course, the initial covenant with Abraham, and to chapter 17, five times God promised Abraham a son, and it was through Sarah. Five times. And remember, Abraham even argued with him about Ishmael after Ishmael had been born. And remember, too, all through this time, Sarah's getting older and older. And she knew she's not childbearing years. She knew that. Now, the unique thing about it, though, and I say that, she would know that, but the fact that she kept her beauty to that near that age because of the Philistine incident was when she was quite a bit older, may mean that God kept her body younger. That is a possibility. But I think that still, even with that, she knew her body didn't have the capability naturally to have a child. So she just had to over and over and over trust the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 17, it's very clear, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Case closed. And when Sarah heard this, what happened? She laughed. And the Lord, of course, immediately knew that. That's what Isaac means, laughter. But she had to continue deal with faith. Have you ever gotten on the ground of faith and then had to recapture it?
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. Okay. Now, there ought to be key times when you, a word of God is direct about a situation. It's a promise that you can cling on to, and yet the answer has not come. That ought to be a paradigm shifter. But even with a paradigm shift of believing God, you have to get on that ground. That's why in the Hour with God, we have the fifth section is on promises. And I went over this morning every promise that God has given me for different aspects of my life and our church here. And I quote all of those right down the line, because if God said it, clearly applied it, He's going to do it. I'm going to stand upon it. And a number of those, of course, God's already answered. So I want to praise Him for that. That certainly encourages you about the future when you look at the past. But it's a constant thing. And ladies, if you have a choice every day, look at yourself or look at God and have faith. That may seem very elementary, but it's really key. Every day can be a very good day. Inevitably, are there not a lot of disappointments? Are there not a lot of stresses? Absolutely. Especially women bear that, because you have such a burden for relationships, for your husband, for your children, for other relationships that you have. And so every day you have a choice. And every day can be a good day. You may not feel the best. Things may not be going like you'd like them to. But if you walk by faith, get back on the ground of faith. That's why you've got to have an extended time every morning if possible. You go rushing into a day, I'm telling you, you're going to look at yourself, you're going to look at the circumstances, and you're not going to develop like Sarah developed in her faith. And so it's a choice. She had to believe that promise. The promise, humanly, was absurd. By the way, not just her. Abraham was an old dude, okay? He's around 100 years old. But we got a problem here. There's not a way to have a child, okay? And yet God did that on purpose to cause there to be great glory in the birth of Isaac. Turn with me now. You're already there if your Bible's open, or turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to just look here about the importance of faith. I've mentioned this many times here. The definition for the word faith is found in the word faith. It just means to depend, to trust. It means to depend upon specific truths of God's word. You trusted the chair when you sat down. We use that to help people understand salvation. You trust all the time. You go to the store and trust that the label is accurate. You have a little less trust today than you used to have, but anyway. But we exercise faith all the time, that dependence. And so verses 1 and 2 are not definition verses. They are description verses. So definition is to put your dependence upon, which will show itself in dependent action, upon the Word of God. But just like you hear the term, knowledge is power. Now, is knowledge power? No, that's not a definition. But knowing things can be powerful, right? In other words, to people who know comes the ability to exercise authority, ability, whatever. So there's truth in the description that knowledge can bring power, but that in no way is a definition of the term knowledge. And that's exactly what you have here in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means assurance of things, and the word hope is confident expectation. Simply put is this: what is your faith in if you're a Christian? It's not your feelings, it's what? The Word of God, something that applies to you, legitimate promise or principle. Like I'm preaching in Romans 6, that's not those are not promises, those are what? Facts. That's who you are. So faith is believing that, okay? And so if you believe the Word of God, God will give you an assurance and a confident expectation that He's going to do what you're trusting Him to do, okay? And then it goes on and says, the evidence of things not seen. And that is just the idea of evidence. Faith causes you to have a spiritual reality about spiritual things you cannot see at this moment. Think about it. Your real life is spiritual, not physical, isn't it? Now, your body is very important. You'll have a resurrected body. But if you're going to worship the Lord, what did Jesus say in John 4? You're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There you have it. Faith is in truth, spirit. Your relationship with the Lord is spiritual. You cannot see Him, but you know He's real. He becomes more and more real. And promises of God, you cannot see them occurring at the moment, but they are spiritually assured of. You have confidence. And at some point, as Romans 5 says, you will have assurance that comes, and you will begin to have, beyond that, you'll start seeing God do the work, okay? And so faith is very important to be exercised when you don't yet see the answer. It's a spiritual assurance. And I guarantee you that Sarah, because she did trust her husband Abraham, and she did sense the Lord's working, that she came back to the ground of faith and had that assurance and that confident expectation that someday she would bear a child. But she had to keep getting back on that. And it's very important, folks, that we pray and know God's going to answer and know that God's word is true. This is really one of the keys to maturity in the Christian life, is to so know the word of God and apply it appropriately that you live according to it and you pray according to it. And in the difficult things of your life, God gives you assurance that this applies to that, and you can hold on to that until God does deliver. Good example would be a wayward child. Okay, a wayward child. And God will start giving you confidence. And you know, God works. Oh my, have I seen over the years. Amazing what God does. Or maybe an unsaved husband, or an unsaved relative, or people that you care about, or Christians that are not right with God. And you come to some great assurance that God's going to work. A week ago, I just had an amazing victory prayed about something for years, and God has stepped in. It's just, I mean, it's absolutely shouting ground. I mean, it's just, it shouldn't have happened, but it's but God, in fact, I have verses of assurance about that situation, and God has just done some marvelous things. So this is where we need to live. It'll keep you from being boxed in on the impossibilities of the temporal, because you are looking past those to the promises of God about the spiritual and the eternal. And so therefore, even though you feel limited, you are not, and God is able to work. Are you with me on this? What I'm giving to you is very crucial. A woman of faith is one that sees beyond her present circumstances and realizes that she's got the Word of God and she's got prayer that will allow her to really go forward in her life. And so that's important to understand Hebrews 11, 1. And the more you exercise faith, the more confident expectation that you have, the more experiences that you have. I remember older Christians that I knew when I was a young man, and I would just be amazed. They'd almost be arrogant in what they'd say, God's going to do this, or, you know, I know this is what God's going to do, and then God would do it, and I wonder, how in the world did they understand that? Well, they had a lot of experience with walking by faith. But I can tell you, Sarah came to full confidence about Isaac when there was no possibility for Isaac. And one of the things God wants you to do is to come to full confidence about things that are important and not be knocked all around by the difficulties in your life. As 1 Kings 8 talks about, there has not one word failed of all of his good promise, talking about what God did for Israel if they would trust him. And so Sarah was stated that she would be the mother of nations. That goes back to what Genesis chapter 12 said. And she would have innumerable posterity, descendants. And of course, the Savior came, and that's why all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so this Sarah, pilgrim from Ur and stranger in Canaan, became the progenitor of all the saints through all the ages. We are all partially affected by Sarah and her faith. Now, ladies, one thing, and I appreciate the emphasis here, is that do not limit what your faith can mean down the line, down the road. We look so much at the here and now. There was a godly woman named Esther Edwards. You don't know her. You don't hear about her, but she had a son named Jonathan. You say, ah, now I know her. Okay. Jonathan Edwards was a great Christian, and he was a very godly man. He was part of the Great Awakening, and you probably heard that offspring from her, 400 have been traced, and 14 college presidents, 100 professors, 100 pastors of the gospel, missionaries, theological teachers, and on. A whole set of just generation after generation of godly people. We don't know about Esther Edwards, but we certainly know about the result of Esther Edwards' life. Sarah could have been hidden if it wasn't for the scriptures, but we know about her because of the Lord Jesus and all, even like you said, today we have the nation of Israel that is part of what is very much in the news today. All right, I'm going to need to finish out here. So God wants you to continue to advance in your faith. So continue to remember God's promises and to reach for them. Continue to believe God's promise and reach for them. Continue to remember and believe God's promises and reach for them no matter what. And so when you come to a very difficult time, and of course, Sarah heard the Lord there when he was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and talked about the fact she would have a child, and she laughed in her inside. That was going to be a crisis of faith for her, that she did pass eventually that test. But you need to ask yourself when you have a very dark doubt come, is this day of your life too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for him? Is this physical difficulty you are bearing too hard for the Lord? Is the heartache you suffer in, boy, they can be tough, too hard for the Lord? Is the problem in your marriage or family too hard for the Lord? Is your financial condition too hard for the Lord? You see, Sarah was asked that. Is anything too hard for me? And I'm telling you, it'll lift your soul when you realize, no, it's too hard for you, but it's not too hard for him, okay? And so you've got to allow him to do that kind of work. So if you're going to be in that kind of place where you can be advancing in your faith, four things here let me finish with. Sarah learned to follow her husband. We talked about that last week. She followed the leadership that God had placed in her life. And as he moved from Ur to Haran and from Haran to Canaan, she followed him. She trusted the Lord when her husband made some mistakes. Egypt was not God's plan. Abimelech and the Philistines were not God's plan. And to have Sarah be in that position was not God's plan. But God used that which was frustrating with her husband to help her see God delivers. I mean, God moved with Pharaoh. God moved with Abimelech. I mean, the hand of an almighty God. Do you think that affected Sarah? Absolutely. She was in a crisis beyond our ability to understand. And God delivered her twice. Now, those of you that are married, let me just say this. It's very easy to say to your husband, now, if you do that again, then I'm going to have a hard time trusting you. Okay. Well, Abraham did it twice on the big scale, right? Like I said, the Bible's honest. But she still stuck with it and kept trusting the Lord, and God honored her husband by increasing his faith as he had to get right about things and increased her faith. So Sarah had learned to wait on the Lord. 25-year wait in which she had to go into an impossible situation. And then number four, she learned the importance of having a gentle and quiet spirit. Her name Sarah has the idea, carries the connotation of contention as well as princess. Now, had she been contentious? There's one real big evidence of being contentious. When was that? Yeah, take Hagar and Ishmael and kick them out, okay? But she learned through that, and God, of course, protected. And so she continued, as we know from, if you'll look with me one more time here, 1 Peter chapter 3, which speaks directly of Sarah, and we'll end with this. God continued to grow her, talking about the kind of heart that a wife should have, the right kind of testimony, verse 1, a chaste conversation and reverence, verse 2, not to be ostentatious or worldly, verse 3, number 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, also who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as, well, of all examples, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter she are. And so she's placed in this description of a meek and quiet spirit. And the fact that she fully obeyed her husband in the long run. Aren't you glad there's hope when we goof up? Okay. And that's what you see here. So Sarah kept advancing in her faith and kept growing. And as we've looked at now twice, she was by faith, Sarah had Isaac. So God wants us to believe. I'm telling you, spiritual reality, when we do not have a heart that's right and have a spiritual perspective, folks, life just becomes so out of whack. and we have a wrong view toward ourselves and everyone else. So this will be a good discussion to talk about what is genuine spirituality and what is faith.